Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This is Ken and Curtis with Ken Laird and Chris Curtis on WEEI.
Probably have never seen Curtis so baseballed up in my time, 10 years spending with you. I don't think I've ever seen you this giddy about the Red Sox. Maybe the final day of the regular season when they in 21, when you and I were watching the
highest rated Sunday night show in WEEI history. Ready for the Brady and Bill reunion. By the way, of all of the I think back to the John Malkovich, the David versus Goliath, Jacksonville Jaguars, Patriots, AFC title game, Opus was spectacular. CBS does a great job with those, but the way the NBC and Football Night in America did the Brady Belichick reunion and that October 3rd tilt 2021, absolutely the best they ever did. But honestly, I got James one of those bat with the ball, the big, the little kid stuff.
He'd be whacking you with that.
I got him a glove. He is thrilled. It was awesome.
A whole new generation of Sox fans born yesterday.
Great. And he was high-fiving people. He said Yankees suck, and I was so proud.
Did he take a picture with the Shaw's square?
Well, he loves Shaw's, but we didn't get to see it. We were going to go to the Cask, but Ken said...
The Cask was banging. I mean, I've never seen it. It's always packed on the home opener, but yesterday was a new level. I could not walk in there.
It was... I had this great photo of Lansdowne after I grabbed the credential, and it was just... It's the opening of a new season. It's the great... I mean, the team... I said it to Sam. He took offense to the rudderless comment, but it was...
Can't imagine why.
But, I mean, it was accurate. If the shoe fits, but...
He is the rudder, and you called them rudderless.
Right, and I did it, I thought, respectfully.
Okay, I just want to point that out.
Okay.
You're wondering why people take offense to you. You say these things that are like...
Well, they were rudderless.
Massively offensive, and then you're surprised that he took offense to it.
Do you think they were rudderless last year? At this time.
No, they actually, if you look back on it, had a good plan. They just weren't truthful about it.
Okay.
The plan was, we'll spend when the big three are close. And now they're close, and one of them's here.
But Sam told me nothing shifted in their spending.
Well, right, he wasn't truthful about it.
Okay, so you're calling him dishonest. I'm not. I'm saying last year at this time...
My word's better.
We all thought that the Red Sox and Cora were about to be done with each other, correct?
I was wrong on that, and yes, correct.
Okay, so just... So you and I... At this time last year,
correct.
We're saying, what's the point of Cora here in a walk year? What are you doing? What's the future? What's Breslow? All of those things.
By the way, at that time, we were not wrong. There was a chance Cora was gone, obviously.
Of course, but yes. What I'm saying is that it appeared rudderless. Okay. For what we were able to glean,
yes,
it was rudderless.
It was hopeless. At the time, it felt bad.
And would it be better if I said that when Sam hung up the phone?
No, I'm just saying, you made the comment that for whatever reason, Sam was offended. Well, you insulted him. You let him know.
Did he tell you he was insulted?
No, you just said he was insulted.
I'm just saying that I asked him to his face. I explained to him, actually. Didn't ask. It wasn't even a question. It was that a year ago, I would have been shocked to have the feeling that I have that is shared by thousands of Sox fans as you approach the 2025 season with Cora beginning a new three-year deal, with the extension of Campbell and Crochet, with guys that are ready to go. You have too much talent. That's someone's in Worcester right now. And the whole vibe of the park was different. It used to be the last several years that you were excited about opening day because of all the non-baseball reasons. It meant the beginning of the summer. It meant the, you know, ability to go back to the old ball yard. It meant to get outside, play hooky, all that. Yesterday was the bottom of the first was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Just a great, great half inning of baseball, and the crowd was excited, and it feels like the start of something, not the end of something. And that was interesting to me, considering that the parties involved are relatively the same in terms of the power structure, but the entire feeling about the future has shifted.
This may be like the nerd in me, but I am most excited about a defensive play now when they make it. When Bregman makes a routine grounder,
Or let alone a spectacular double play third to first.
Right. Or Cassis dropped that yesterday. One yesterday from Story. That would have been awesome, that spinning throw. But that has me the most excited to watch them now. One downside, Hauk and Buehler have not been great yet. And my man Baby Pedro's coming, and so is Giolito. But would you admit that there still is a question mark out there about their starting pitching beyond our man?
How do we cure the Greg Hill jinx? Like, so once we had Giolito on, is there someone, like, should he go on with Jackson? And then that, like, because then he'll be healthy again?
The Jackson post-show podcast.
People are still clamoring for that. But, I don't know. What's the latest on Giolito? When is he expected back?
I think they're both he and Baby Pedro are a couple starts away. So they're close, which is good. But there's no guarantee when they get up here they'll be great. I believe in Baby Pedro, but you continually mock me for feeling that way.
Yeah, I love Pedro too much to compare him with someone that's nowhere near his ability.
Ortiz back yesterday. Paul Pierce back in town yesterday at the Celtics game.
I saw that. He was hugging Jalen and Jason.
What a day.
God, the end of
Boston
the NBA,
sports day.
The end of the NBA season was almost too exciting. I don't even know what to do with myself.
Would you rest Jalen?
I would, yeah. I don't care about the well, what does he care about all the NBA stuff? Because he already got the Supermax. It doesn't, you know, that's only important until you get it, right?
Would you rest Danny from Quincy for a week? Would you take him on the phone?
Oh, I'm actually interested to see Danny's thoughts on the Sox.
Okay, we go to Danny from Quincy. He wants to talk Milton and the Sox.
Oh, good.
Hi, Danny.
Hey. Well, okay. I wanted to get to the Patriots, but anyway, the Sox. Look at Ken, and I've been criticized for this statement, but I fail to understand why they had to go out and sign Crochet. They had 2 years left on his contract, and the only reason I say that is because the guy had Tommy John surgery. He missed a year. Granted, he came back last year for, you know, I guess he was the comeback player of the year, but I just would have waited. I think they should have made him pitch for his contract and see if he stays healthy. And that's what I'm concerned about on that one.
Well, the price would have gone way up, and they were willing to pay Max Fried 200 and whatever million. They got a guy now that's 25 instead of 31. I really don't see much downside. I mean, obviously,
that was it. I mean, it's not a big deal. If he gets hurt, they'll be stuck with another contract. Okay, they're already stuck with Devers. So,
well, if he does get hurt, it's the Tommy John. It's 1 year, and you come back better. I mean, that's generally how it is anyway. So I don't think it's going to be that.
Anyway, but it's not a big deal. It's a moot point. The guy pitched well. So I just hope he stays healthy. On the Patriots, I would have kept Milton. I mean, not because I think he's the next coming of Tom Brady, only because they need athletic bodies on the team. And you could have used a guy. I mean, gadget guy, backup quarterback. Hell, Belichick turned Edelman into a receiver from a quarterback, right? Why couldn't they turn him into a receiver? The guy was 6'5", 250 pounds. And he runs a 4.5 40. I just don't understand. What did you have to lose by keeping him?
And if Josh Dobbs has to start a game, Danny, are they going to win that game?
What is the anger towards Milton? I mean,
weird. It's a Drake May defensive mechanism from some, like Scheim, like Curtis, who are just afraid of competition for some reason.
What?
Yeah,
what am I
mean,
afraid
here's
of?
The deal. What's that?
I mean, how much did he help? What gadgets did he have in college that helped this team win a big game? Like what? What about Joe Milton has shown you that he could be a good quarterback in the NFL?
Curtis, what harm did it do keeping him?
They have Dobbs. They think Dobbs is better than Joe Milton.
Okay, so you keep both of them then.
Why?
I don't understand it. You got 50-plus man roster. You can deal.
So you want to keep four quarterbacks?
They would have. Brissett would have been the odd man out.
But
okay,
I feel like we're missing. We're catching an ant and missing an elephant. Like, who cares? The guy sucks in the NFL.
He's not going to be a good player. I always say the rest of the NFL had him to offer that
could have had him in the draft. They didn't take him until
the sixth. I just don't see people getting angry over what, keeping him. What harm could it have done keeping the guy?
Because of idiots like you, who this past week, Ken Laird a month ago told me he would only trade him for a first round pick.
I stand by that.
People have gone crazy. You tweeted that. You never said that.
So people have gone crazy.
I said they would get a first. I never said that. I said I wouldn't have traded him unless they got a first.
That is the dumbest thing in the history of mankind.
Because I wouldn't have traded him, because Danny's right. Why wouldn't you keep a guy you have a good backup who's pushing Drake May?
Clearly, there's an issue. I don't know what it is, but they got rid of him, and I trust Vrabel's ability to read the situation.
Well, if the issue is, as a texter says, Drake May is a P word, that's not good. I'm not saying that is the case, but...
Here's the deal, I know I'm going to get flack for this one. First of all, Mike Vrabel he's been out of football for a year, okay?
Well, he was with the Browns.
He's got to reinvent himself to me.
He was not out of football for a year.
Drake May has had
He was
one
not
year.
Out of football for a year. He was with the Browns last season.
Prove it to me. Vrabel's the next Belichick? Is that what we're talking about? Give me a break.
What do you mean? He sucks until he gets a great quarterback?
I don't understand it.
Is that what a Belichick is?
You know something? When you have Laramie Tunzel and you have Tooney available, they were available to the NFL for a trade, and they blew it. They couldn't have.
I mean, if he's the next Belichick, is he 4-13 or is he 8-9?
And you keep Andrews. You keep that. There's your left side of your offensive line, and you keep it. What harm could it have done to keep Andrews?
Or 7-9. Which of the last 5 years is Bill? If Mike's real, Bill, Danny.
Just address the offensive line. That would have freed up their draft capital to pick other players. They would have had their whole offensive line available for Drake May, a veteran offensive line. I don't understand it. Chicago makes the trade for Tooney, and we can't do that?
I think that was a big whiff. I totally agree. I just don't think we should waste time on a third string quarterback. I just think that he's not that good.
We shouldn't have wasted time on a six-round quarterback with Brady. That didn't work out.
Keep using
that. And the only other thing, and Curtis, you know, I heard you mention, you remember Welker for the high pass. I remember him for the 11 catches and 103 yards. He had 11 catches and 103 yards in the 2007 Super Bowl, and he would have got the MVP in that game had Brady put up more than 14 freaking points. Okay? Right. And here's one for you, Curtis. Ken.
You mean Bill's defense that got the ball with the lead twice against Eli Manning and couldn't get a stop? You mean that, Danny? You mean that defense?
Yeah, they gave up 17.
What?
17
so both fourth quarters, they get the ball. Danny, in fourth quarters, they had gotten the lead from Tom Brady if under 2 minutes to go, and he allowed Eli Manning to beat him twice.
17 points in a 60-minute football game.
Good call, as always, just avoiding the conversation.
Well, he makes a good point about Edelman. Belichick turned Edelman into a useful player. Was a quarterback, became something useful.
Yep.
Why couldn't Vrabel have done that with Joe Milton III?
Because he didn't think he was able to. And Joe Milton III probably thinks Joe Milton III is a quarterback, not like Edelman, who was willing to be malleable into other positions.
Well, a good coach obviously convinced Edelman that you could be malleable. I mean, it's bizarre to me that you would just say, I don't want to deal with it. We have an asset here. I'm going to just chuck it away before you even bring him in the building.
It sounds like you have that minus the it.
I don't know. I don't get it.
Ass.
Okay.
I mean, that's it. The only way that you sit here today and you have a problem, and I will grant it to you, is if you think that Drake May was the impetus behind this move.
Well, you agree. That sounds like what's happened.
And that is a bad idea. That is a horrific look for Drake May.
At least you'll admit that. Shime won't admit that.
That's because he's got Drake May underwear.
That's what I'm saying. That's a concern. People are so defensive about Drake being the guy. We're anointing him too soon. I think he's good. I like him.
If you want to use the sixth round pick comparison, what made Tom was that he overcame all of these people that told him he couldn't do it, whether it was at Michigan or being the fourth stringer here behind, you know, name that Heward and Freeze and Bledsoe and all that stuff.
Like, and Tom used Jimmy G to his advantage.
Of course.
I might have locked him out of the TB12 center. But
I would too.
Yeah. And Jones, I love this take from Jones, that Jimmy G pick was one of the best Belichick ever made. It was like one of the great moves of Belichick's history. to light the fire under Brady for those years. That is a critical part of the second dynasty that cannot be overlooked.
Of course.
And so Vrabel comes in and says, I don't want that. I want a comfortable, cushy quarterback room where Drake is coddled. Drake is the guy. Josh Dobbs is not a threat.
But if you want to use that analogy in a different way, in Tom's second year, his first year playing, after the Patriots lost to the Rams on Sunday Night Football, Bill Belichick said, I'm done splitting reps. That is a disservice to the starting quarterback. Tom's our starter.
Yeah, you don't have to split reps. You don't have to give Milton
reps. I mean, he did say that a competition had ended, and anybody with a brain and knows football knows that Drake May and Joe Milton are nowhere in the same universe.
Not saying they are.
So then it's the only way this is a story is if Drake May's not good. Joe Milton can do whatever with the Cowboys. If Drake May's great, it was the right decision.
Well, not if you need a backup. What if Drake gets hurt with his concussed in week three?
What if Joe Milton doesn't want to be a backup? What if he thinks of himself as this second coming now?
Well, you don't just let the players run the asylum. You say, look, Joe, you're sitting. You're our backup. If Drake gets hurt, you're in. And then when he gets in, he will ball out like he did in week 17 last year. And he might win you a few games while Drake gets healthy.
But it is
And then his stock is higher next year.
But you have to admit, the people that say sixth-round pick and sixth-round pick is one of the dumber arguments of all time.
Well, it just bothers you because you think Brady is an anomaly that will never be repeated. And
you don't?
There could be another sixth. Maybe Milton's a little Brady light.
No, okay. So you think that there will be another
There will be another sixth-round pick that is
the greatest that wins seven Super Bowls.
I didn't think Ovechkin would catch Gretzky, and here
well,
we are.
Well, you wanted him gone, and now you're wearing a number 8 jersey.
It's Ken and Curtis, 617-779-7937.
You kind of just tell on yourself as a sports fan if you think Joe Milton's really good at football. You really do. It's like a shiny object.
That. I'm not saying that.
Oh, my God. After that game against the Bills, people were saying he should have been starting all year.
Intrigued. You don't trade him for
why? You got you got an upgrade. You upgraded from 6th to 5th.
No, you traded a 7th, so basically it's the same pick. It's a 6th. On the trade value chart...
They got a 5th-round pick for Joe Milton.
Right, and traded a 7th.
Oh, no.
So if you add up the trade value chart...
The 7th-round pick could be Brock Purdy.
Well, fine, but I'm just saying, you go by the numbers...
Do you think the Patriots should draft last and just so that they can get the next Brock Purdy in the next draft?
Yes, I would tank.
Just don't have to tank. You just get Mr. Irrelevant every year, and one year you'll get the next quarterback.
I like it. I would go with that route. We're at the Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio, presented by your New England Ford dealers and F-Series. Can't beat an F-150. You cannot. America's best-selling truck for 48 years and the official truck of the Boston Red Sox. All right, to trending. Here's Zach Coe with the news.
The exclusive home for Patriots Monday and Friday.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Red Sox extended their winning streak to 3 yesterday with a 13-9 win over the St. Louis Cardinals in the home opener. Sox were propelled by back-to-back home runs from Trevor Story and Willier Abreu as a part of a 5-run first inning. Alex Bregman went 2-for-4 in his Fenway debut. Here's what he had to say about that Fenway crowd after the game.
Obviously, the energy was in the ballpark. It was a lot of fun to be out there playing, and especially after a long road trip, not being here for a while, and then coming back and feeling that energy, it brought all of us into the game really nicely, and looking forward to continuing it.
Game 2 of that series tentatively goes down today with Richard Fitz taking the mound opposite Andre Pallante for St. Louis. You can hear coverage of that one right here on WEEI and across the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. Joe Weil will get you started on the Mass Mutual pregame show at 3:10. Then Will Fleming and Will Middlebrooks will have the call of the game first pitch at 4:10. Celtics beat the Phoenix Suns 123-103, the final from the Garden last night. Jaylen Brown led the way with 31 points for the Seas. They'll host the Washington Wizards tomorrow night over at the Garden, tip-off at 6. Bruins back in action tonight looking to snap a 10-game losing streak. They host the Carolina Hurricanes. With a loss tonight, the Bruins would tie the 1924-25 team for the longest losing streak in franchise history. Puck drop from the Garden at 7. In other NHL news, Washington Capitals winger Alex Ovechkin tied Wayne Gretzky's all-time goals record. He had his 893rd and 894th career goals last night. He'll have a chance to break Gretzky's record tomorrow when the Capitals travel to Long Island to take on the Islanders. Finally, for just the second time ever, the Final Four consists of all number one seeds. Those games get underway tonight in the Alamo Dome. First, Florida takes on top overall seed Auburn at 6:09, and then Duke will face Houston at 8:49. You can hear Westwood One's coverage of those games right after Red Sox coverage wraps up here on WEEI. Winners, of course, will fight for a national championship on Monday night. My name is Zach Cohen. That's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com. More Ken and Curtis coming up after this.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Ken and Curtis, WEEI. WEEI.
What's it like, Curtis, to be in an optimistic frame of mind right now? Red Sox, do you feel off?
No, this is how I was for my whole life. I was opening day, ready to go. I told the story. There was a great opener with Andre Dawson going yards, Scott Fletcher, big off seasons. It was Mo Vaughn, the hit dog. I mean, those were awesome days of my life. I look back on them fondly, and I'm happy that the Red Sox have decided to act like the Red Sox. They certainly charge for pizza like the Red Sox. Guacamole.
Well, they would have done that regardless of the team on the field, so you better as well enjoy the game.
It is important for all of us, despite the hours that we have and the jobs that we have, to actually go and experience as the fan experiences, because it does shade and shape your view.
Yeah.
And going yesterday, I don't know what I expected. I didn't expect it to be cheap, but it's just... I don't think it was always like, I guess it was like $4 for a soda when I was a kid. And my dad was like, don't waste your money. That's obscene. But today it's $4 outside the park for a soda. So who knows?
Well, the danger of opening day is you lose track of how much you spend.
How much you drink.
How much you drink. And you lose track of the game. Like, I was going over to Griggs Foundation event last night. And I'm like, I know they won. They scored 13. I don't remember how they scored beyond the Abreu home run.
Right.
Like, I watched the game, but you're just...
It's literally like it is Boston's biggest bar and it's happy hour. Like, yep. Everybody's just having a good time and you got the game on in the background.
Better day, the home opener or Marathon Monday?
I love yesterday. I mean, the Marathon Monday has a poignancy. Yep. Is that a word?
Yep.
To it now that is, you know, obviously it's for many of us that spent our lives here. The marathon growing up was a headache. Like, you lived in Metro West. It's like, how am I going to get here? How are you going to get to work? You know, school vacation. And obviously what happened in 2013 reshaped it in a very, you know, in an awful way, but has since been, you know, as you noted, the bombing survivors at the Greg Hill Foundation event last night. Those that came out who should be the most hurt are the most strong. And those are the ones that we celebrate on the marathon day. But yesterday is just sort of a, you know, head out, have a bunch of booze, have a good time, you know. And the way the team has been put together and the youth that is in the pipeline.
To what? To youth.
Right. My Cousin Vinny, great flick. I love the scene in My Cousin Vinny where he's like, I got the lives of these two kids hanging in the balance and I got to think about your biological clock ticking. Anyway, say your idea. But the way in which that... The season feels is unique, and it is shaped by the cost, the parking, the infrastructure of our city is so awful. God, does it suck driving over here yesterday. It's just nothing works. Why? When you go to Manhattan, and if you time it right, you go down, and the lights just keep getting green because they're timed so that you are able to move traffic. Every other light changes on its own variable.
Yeah.
Like when you go down the road, you know the road where you go, you're heading towards 93 from Arlington Street. You go past Bay Village where that old steakhouse like Smith & Malinsky was, and you turn left, there's a CVS, and you're going towards like Ink Block, the 93 exit. There's like four lights. They're all off-timed. Like, why we have the smartest people in the world all working within 2 miles of where we're seated right now.
Every time I drive past there, I think of our visit to the Ketchus Law Group. On the rooftop. Curtis was like swinging a sledgehammer. Yeah, it was a great morning.
I do often. But the way that the getting in and out of the stadium sucks, all that. But the way that this team feels is, I think, very different than it has in a while. And it doesn't feel like it's all make or break. It doesn't feel like this. They have to do well this year or else it's over. They have the reinforcements that can be utilized because they do have a surplus at certain positions with talented top 50 prospects where if the middle relief, if the starter goes down, if Walker Buehler and Giolito either can't play or aren't great in what they've shown so far, you could execute a trade for another starter. Like they have the ability to make the team better, and the team is already pretty good.
We have the Netflix series coming out this week featuring WEI personalities prominently. I'm told a lot of Rich Keefe in the series. I don't know how if people are going to be into it like big time. You know, it's like a multi-fat. From what I understand, it's more of kind of like a behind the bees feel of last year. And it's looking back to a last year, a team that was not very good, obviously.
We finally found a Netflix series Greg is not looking forward to.
Yeah, I don't know. But so this series launches, and I think Cassis is going to be very involved.
Oh, God. I am Cassis out.
I know, but this if they keep winning, even
Holy
Cassis
cow,
will
you see this?
Longer.
Cash Patel was with Gretzky last night?
No, I didn't see that.
Wow. Anyway, carry on.
No, I'm just saying, even Cassis, that there's nobody on the team that unlikable. Cassis is polarizing, but I think this if they keep winning like this, even he will become lovable.
What's the likable part of Cassis? You say polarizing. What's the likable?
He was on Sox Booth. He was with Will and Will after one of the games, and he had a great funny exchange about how he's at the plate not thinking, and he's thinking about not thinking.
All right.
It can be charming they're winning. And he's performing.
Did you also think Big Bang Theory was funny? Like, what's your funny?
I've never watched the full Big Bang Theory episode.
I mean, judging your sense of humor, I don't know how much I'd really give credence into how funny he was on Sox Booth.
Caddyshack is the pinnacle, and I still haven't seen Tommy Boy. That's my comedic.
Honestly, that is just so shocking to me. How have you not seen Tommy Boy?
I wouldn't be opposed to watching it. I've just never actually wanted to sit down and do it.
He worked with Jerry. It's like all
I saw Farley on SNL. Like, that's probably what it is.
So you don't think Farley's funny?
He's funny, and I'm not against it, but I've seen it. I've seen Farley's bit. It's just that for 2 hours, right?
But he's playing off as David Spade.
I don't like David Spade that much.
But that's what it's great. He hates David Spade. It's funny.
All right, I'll watch it this weekend.
He's got a toupee. It goes flying in the wind. It's unbelievable.
In the meantime, we have people upset about the Milton trade.
Okay,
can we get back to negativity, please?
Yes, love it.
Let's go to Jillian in Chelmsford on the Ken and Curtis Show. Hello, Jillian.
Hi.
How are you?
Hi. So I just want to say there's so much about this trade that I do not like. I would say the first kind of thing that stands out to me is I feel like we could have gotten more for him. And so how is this decision made? Was it made rashly? Was it made out of emotion and hubris? And that feels too Belichickian to me. And I hated that about him. I hated when we lost Garoppolo for nothing. And I feel like your resources are so limited, the choices you can make in the NFL in some ways, that you have to make the most of everything you have. And I don't think we did. But
well,
secondly,
Jillian, let me ask you this, Jillian, real quick. If it was Drake May, because Curtis, that's the answer, right? They traded him because of Drake May?
Correct, in one way or the other.
In one way or the other. Does that make sense to you, Jillian?
No. No, I hate that even worse, because I think you guys have already spoken about that in some ways you can't baby a quarterback. It's a really hard role. Like, you have got to learn to deal. You've got to learn to overcome. That was why Brady became Brady, because he overcame. So hate it from that perspective. Thirdly, I hate it, and this is like the biggest one in some ways for me. I mean, it doesn't make logical sense when you have someone who's a perfectly sufficient, maybe even better than average backup quarterback who has potential, and you just do a bunch of trades that when you need all these other trades, you get a new quarterback, get him out for nothing. Like, that in and of itself doesn't make any sense. But then in addition to that, I feel like as much as I like Drake May, people compare him to Josh Allen, and he plays a little bit like Josh Allen, and he is not even close to the same size as Josh Allen. And my big worry about him is injury. Like, that's my big worry about him.
No, he's already been
and
concussed.
I feel like you had in your hand someone who could be a potential Josh Allen who is not going to get as injured and not be as prone to it. And he's even your backup in the guy that could get injured. So why
Jillian,
would
thank
you do
you
that?
Thank you for the call. I'm going to have you host with Mego noon to 2 because that's better than Shimes analysis will be. So nice job.
Thank you, Jillian.
And I agree with you.
What if he's just not good?
Well, I mean, that could happen, but you don't know yet.
I mean, it's
you would agree you don't know yet.
Well, I know that the rest of the NFL had an opportunity to draft him. I know that the rest of the NFL had an opportunity to trade for him.
Right, and there's a report that six teams wanted
him. Okay, so what do you think the best pick they were offered was if they took a fifth?
I don't think they were. They had to wait to the draft to find out.
Okay, let's just play it through. What do you think?
But I think probably the best was a fourth or a third.
Okay,
third or fourth.
So
this year, next year, maybe second.
Okay, so we all agree that if Joe Milton's really good, whoever gets him is going to be brilliant, because it's the toughest commodity to find.
Yep.
Nobody thought entering this year Cam Ward was the best player to be drafted. Okay. He's on Miami. He had a good year, and everybody's right. Horned up about his measurables.
Would you rather have Cam Ward or Joe Milton?
Cam Ward.
I'd rather have Milton. I've seen him in the NFL.
Ken, you're going to really alienate your
I don't think Cam
reality.
Ward's good. I've watched Cam Ward, and I am not impressed.
Joe Milton only got on the field once. He was behind Jacoby Brissett.
And preseason.
Who's better, Cam Ward or Jacoby Brissett?
Jacoby Brissett.
Okay. I don't know.
You think Cam Ward's going to be good? I think he stinks.
Okay, I think Cam Ward is better than Joe Milton.
I don't. But, I mean...
Why did Joe Milton suck against good teams in college? I mean that. I'm asking for a friend.
I didn't watch his college tape. Will fully admit. Did not watch him at college. Iggy broke down the film. Did Iggy break down Josh Dobbs at Tennessee? Get him on the phone and see if Josh Dobbs is any better. Because I can't imagine...
Well, he has 17 touchdowns and 15 picks in the NFL. That's a pretty good number for a backup quarterback.
Josh Dobbs?
The guy they have for the Patriots?
He's 3-12, his record.
17 touchdowns, 15 interceptions.
That sounds awful. That sounds...
Awful?
3-12 record?
Okay.
His quarterback rating is a 78 in the games he's played.
Wow. I mean, what's Max quarterback rating?
Under McDaniels was pretty good.
He had some triple digits. Joe Milton against Georgia. 38-10 loss. November 18th, 2023.
I mean, this is all irrelevant to me. The college tape, again, going back to Brady, does not mean much.
Have a single touchdown in that game.
Okay.
When you play good teams, he sucked. He was on the bench. He didn't even make the bench. He was only active twice. Jacoby Brissett sucks. And he couldn't even beat him out.
Well, I think he could have beat him out. It was just they paid him too much money.
Honestly, you're all basing this on one game against the Bills, who weren't even playing to win.
I don't even care. I'm not basing his talent yet.
I didn't hear you mention Joe Milton's name the entire season.
Oh, I was after the final week of the regular season.
No, I'm saying the entire season.
No, I'm not saying he should have played.
But so all of a sudden he's great because it beat a team that wanted to lose.
He was great. They traded him for nothing. And it's a bad sign. Right.
He didn't even see the sideline the entire year. You didn't make a single complaint about that.
Didn't see the sideline?
Yes.
I don't care about that. Fine. Redshirt him. But now in year two, you could have used him as a weapon and definitely a better backup.
Every
Josh
team
Dobbs.
In the NFL could have used him as a weapon, and they got a fifth rounder for him.
You'd rather have Dobbs?
Yes.
Oh, my God. We're going to see Josh Dobbs playing. You're going to be like, what
is
happening?
You just said Joe Milton's better than the number one pick in the draft. And he was only traded for a fifth-round pick.
I mean, newsflash, this quarterback class is not good.
The rest of the NFL thinks, everybody thinks Cam Ward is going number one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and
just
you
got, people were just desperate.
You think Joe Milton is better. So people are desperate. Why aren't they desperate for Joe Milton?
Well, they were. There were six teams that potentially were going to trade for him.
Okay.
You traded him way too
and
early.
You said the best you could get is a fourth.
I think right now, yeah.
Okay, so he's better than the number one pick in the draft, and the best thing
Who
you can
sticks?
Get for him is the fourth.
Right. There's no good quarterbacks in this draft.
There is such a chasm between reality and your point of view.
Well, not really. I don't think Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders are going to be good quarterbacks.
Okay.
They're going to stink.
But
they're not starters.
Okay, the marketplace dictates value, correct?
Yeah, and it's an unknown, and it's a it's
wait,
a flyer.
What do you know about Milton against the Bills with none of their starters playing to lose?
I liked what I saw.
In a game against no starters?
Preseason in week 17, yes. I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued enough that I'm keeping him around.
Just like Malik Mania.
Yeah, kind of like that. I like Malik.
Right. And where is he?
He hasn't been given a shot yet.
I actually think he was the one getting me the slice of pizza at our mark yesterday.
You know what I think really happened? I think this is making Drake look bad. And it probably, knowing Vrabel, I don't know him well, but you and I know a little bit about him. He probably was just like, I don't want to deal with the drama. He's out of here. And it's making Drake look bad based on his call to do that. Do you think that's true? It's Vrabel just didn't want a distraction, right? They traded him before they even brought him in for off-season workouts. He didn't want to deal with a potential distraction. That's just Vrabel's mindset, yes?
I think that Mike Vrabel, first and foremost, does not believe Joe Milton will be a good quarterback in the NFL.
Okay, that could be true, too.
So then everything else
is
irrelevant.
Or at least he's uncertain, and he doesn't want to even find out.
Mike Vrabel believes he's seen all he needs to know about Joe Milton, whether that it was his 5 years in college. Joe Milton's 25. He's not 20 right now. Mm-hmm. He's an old guy for his position in the NFL.
Old guys.
You sure do. You love baseball.
I hired Greg.
You fired Dale.
Did not.
No, I mean, that would have been one thing. I would have given up the rest of my career just to be able to do that. But we all have dreams. So the way that Mike Vrabel evaluated this is, yes, it's a negative on Drake May, because even if that's 2% of the decision, it's really a bad sign. If you're Drake May, I always say this.
But it's a bad sign if Vrabel didn't want him around because he's too worried about him being a distraction that he can't handle.
That's what I'm saying. It's an indictment of Vrabel's opinion of Drake May.
Well, I just think it's a sign that Vrabel can be stubborn beyond value. He didn't take advantage of the value of this player, whether he's good or not.
No, Mike Vrabel is like me and everybody else with a functioning brain who saw that game and knew what it was.
Okay, but will you admit your mistake if he gets on the field for Dallas and looks good? Will you at least?
What does that mean?
If we get more evidence that Milton can play,
not in the preseason,
in games that matter.
Okay, so how many starts
will
do
you apologize
for this year with the Cowboys?
I don't think this year. Probably 2 years away.
So when he's 28, he'll get his first start.
Well, you said he's 25. That would be 25 plus 2, 27.
I don't even know when his birthday is. You should get him something.
Well, you're the one upset that he's 25, like he's over the hill. My God.
What's
wrong with that?
You think he's this...
Garrett Crochet is 25.
To me, a project...
Looks pretty freaking good.
Right. He's already been elite in Major League Baseball.
He had 1 year as a quasi-starter.
Right.
He's just coming into his own. Milton and Crochet, maybe the two
best
players.
It's also very different, the quarterback who doesn't run and a guy that relies on his athleticism. I mean, that's a horrible way to look at it. Garrett Crochet at 25 is the normal great spot to be in as a starter beginning your major league career.
Right.
Joe Milton. At 25, he's not even going to see the field this year, you just said.
When did Brady retire?
1992.
21 years left for Joe Milton to prove himself.
How does Aaron Rodgers look in his 40s?
He's waiting to sign with the Pittsburgh Steelers.
I mean,
playing them. God, they look bad.
I mean,
what an embarrassment that the Steelers are like begging Aaron Rodgers to come in.
Of all things, we go to one game, you're with James eating nachos, and you say that Joe Milton's the next coming of Johnny Unitas.
And by the way, Patriots fans agree with
right,
you. You put a poll out.
I didn't put the poll out. You shared it because you felt butthurt by my take.
Well, somebody on the show put it out.
I didn't tweet anything.
The show put a poll out. Was the Milton trade a success or a failure? People hated it. Overwhelming failure. Nobody likes this trade. You heard Jillian and Chelmsford.
Right. There's a great scene in The American President when Rumson, this bad Republican, is attacking Michael Douglas. And he's saying all these mean things about the dating and the girlfriend and... Michael J. Fox is in his face. He's the chief of staff, and he says, you have to say something, because in the absence of pure leadership, people go crawl through the sand, and they will see an oasis, and they will believe whatever they say.
So you hate our listeners.
No.
You hate the public.
And Michael Douglas says when people do that, it's not because they think it's water. It's because they don't know the difference.
413 text. Curtis, you're high if you think it's better to have Dobbs than Milton.
Okay.
I would totally agree. I'm concerned about your...
I might have to today. California sober. But I say this affectionately.
Uh-huh.
My boss says that Joe Milton is better than Cam Ward.
I agree with that. I stand by that. I think he's going to be really good. Joe Milton is going to be, in a couple years, a Dallas Cowboys starting quarterback.
What does really good mean?
He'll be like, who's the Chargers quarterback that I...
So he's better than Herbert.
He's a Herbert. He's a Herbert in the making.
Okay, how old's Justin Herbert right
okay,
now?
You know. I don't. God, you're caught up on ages. They're all in their 20s.
Joe Milton, you think he's going to be 27 before he takes a snap? It's like the only other guy that did that was Kurt Warner.
Oh, God, Kurt Warner had a pretty good career,
right? Fastest.
They made a movie about him.
Yeah.
Will you see the Milton movie?
The Kurt Warner movie.
David Spade will play.
It's the worst movie of all time.
Isn't that?
Oh my God,
it looks bad.
Horrific.
Well, Ken and Curtis, not great either, but we're trying.
We're doing our best.
We'll plunge ahead.
Any word on the game?
No word. I'm reaching out to all my sources, which is just Brian Abraham, the farm director. I will text Brian again. We'll try to find an answer. Will there be baseball today?
And Wally will join us for the crossover.
Big hot takes from Mego and Chime at noon, though. You can count on that.
I don't think you can get hotter than Cam Ward not being as good as Joe Milton.
I really think that's an obvious take, and most of the fan base agrees.
Okay, great.
We'll be right back.
AUDACY. Type that into your app search, then download.
This is Ken and Curtis on WEEI.
Sometimes I just got myself a bonus for dealing with Curtis.
Ken, an actual F-bomb.
Well, I just, you know, God, jeez.
It is unbelievable.
It's daily. It's just a daily grind. I just try to look the other way and be positive about life.
I'm positive every day. You're the one who says that Joe Milton.
You're positive every day?
I am. I love my life.
You are positive every day. I'm going to put that on a t-shirt. Chris Curtis is positive every day.
I am positive I'm right every day.
That's better. Now, Shime has texted the program. He's coming up. Then I need Courtney's oxygen chamber.
Well, it does help.
I would do use the hyperbaric chamber, by the way. I would get it. That sounds like something I should put in the office. Like, everybody in the office could use it. We all go back there.
I don't think that that would be...
hygienic?
I don't want to sound rude, but I wonder what we could get away with a placebo and tell Courtney that it was doing, that she wouldn't believe. Does that make sense?
Well, I mean,
like, if we got Courtney a Lululemon jacket that said you can run a 3-minute mile with this on, I think she'd think she could.
Well, that's basically what Shime does with the Drake May jersey. He puts it on and he thinks everything's right. Can we agree with whatever Shime says between noon and 2 today, it's coming behind a biased, deranged Drake May love affair that he can't see beyond?
Yes.
So all of his opinions and takes on the subject of Joe Milton's trade is they're just
correct.
Skewed.
Yes, I think that you accurately point out that certain things with the old quarterback, number 12, that I am unable to be rational.
Yeah.
So... And you, with you and, you know, in Belichick and others, you get very defensive. So with what is bothersome to me is that you have to be able to state separately that you can be a total fan of the Milton trade and say that he was overrated despite what others say. They did the best they could given the marketplace. Everything else has just spin. You can have that opinion. That could be true. But you can also have the opinion that if Drake May had any role, at even 2% role in getting this guy out, it is a horrible, horrible sign.
Well, a great text from my buddy Sully. What about Robert Kraft stating at the Mayo press conference when they fired Mayo, it looks like we've got two quarterbacks.
Right.
So that is the belief of the owner at that time, and now you've traded him for nothing. What happened in the meantime? Something happened.
Right. And with all due respect to the people that want to compare the sixth round quarterback and all that stuff, it took Brady becoming Montana before we knew about his family's involvement behind the scenes with Belichick. Like, he had won four. They draft Jimmy G, and that's, you know, where this all sort of kicked in, correct?
Yes.
Like, it was not at the beginning when he's saying, why is Damon Heward on the roster? And so for Drake May to have this feeling, like, if you're pissed... Say what you will about the great ones. We can talk about Tom, but we can talk about Mahomes. We can talk about Jordan. We can talk about all the athletes, the Kobes, all those guys. The first place resentment went was to fueling performance. It did not go to getting people out of the building.
I wonder if Drake was... You think he was sneaky, like, upset that this has been framed as his doing? Like, if I'm him, I come out and say something about this. Like, maybe people wouldn't believe him. But at least get it on the record, like, I got along with Milton. I in no way wanted him traded. This was an organizational decision, not mine.
Yeah, but maybe Vrabel's there saying, you know, I'm in charge. We're not going to be getting multiple messages out, you know.
Yeah, he might piss Vrabel off at doing it.
But that's another thing where it's like, if I say that, Ken, I can't then say it's okay to have Elliot Wolf here. Like, there are so many elements to this that are just easy fixes. Elliot Wolf, you don't talk anymore. You can do whatever you want. You'll collect the whatever we're paying you. You are not given a microphone. You are no longer in a capacity where you answer about decisions the front office makes.
Yeah, his role is troubling. Can we also agree that playing Milton in the last week of the regular season was a mess? Why would you do that? Why would you get your fans stirred up about Milton? Why would you try to raise Milton's value and then not utilize in any way raising that value? And why would you have a guy who wants to win the game that you needed to lose? That is a horrible, epic fail
right.
from the Patriots organization on the last day of the regular season.
You made it clear to me about how I was wrong to say the team was rudderless to Sam Kennedy. And what I will say is, if you want a definition of rudderless, it is the 2024 Patriots. Everything about it was off. Nothing was congruent. Nothing was on the same page.
Even at the end of the year, they were like, had lost control.
But even now, it's like, your owner, I guess I should be mad at Robert Kraft, not the fans, because Sully's right. Robert Kraft was the one pumping this guy up, saying we have two quarterbacks.
Right.
And I understand if that bothers Drake May. I get it. But don't talk about it. Just be better.
Yeah. Would you like the lineup today behind Richard Fitz before we get out of here? They are playing the hits. Well, this game may not happen today.
Right.
Duran, Devers, Bregman, Casas, Story, Abreu, Campbell, Hamilton at second today. Campbell in left field. And Wong at catcher. So the big guns are in there for the most part.
Love it. Who's pitching for the Birds?
I don't even know that. I will check on that.
Andre Pallante.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, I have his splits right here. Oof.
Cardinals are not very good. They had a good start to the year record-wise, but I don't think it's a good team. You know what I'm looking forward to already? June Yankees. Back-to-back Yankee series, one in the Bronx and then one here at Fenway.
Oof.
That is going to be the big banging series of the summer.
So
kick off the summer.
Just talent. Who's the better team? But
Yankees,
now that we
Red
know
Sox?
That Gerrit Cole's donezo.
I think Boston.
Really?
I mean, the starting rotation, I guess, is the big key there. Judge looks good. He had another one yesterday.
I know.
He's obviously
I saw these
an incredible
like, Ruthian numbers they were putting out about start to the career and all that.
Yeah, he said the same 300 homers through the same number of games that Ruth did.
Anyway, all right. Well, I hope Shime is able to carry the torch here.
I apologize for getting mad at you during the break.
Oh, it's great. I love it. I haven't seen it that way since Joe
Zarbano. I don't love it. I try not to get rattled because you rattle people and it ruins their life, like Gerard Mayo.
I don't rattle anybody.
Okay.
I just am here.
Just have a good weekend.
I'm here to have a great weekend. I can't wait. I'm going to go get James on a play date. It's going to be a wonderful day.
I'll see you Monday.
Hey, at least we didn't tell that story. He's thinking about avoiding potholes. Do you see the Pat McAfee scandal with the Ole Miss student?
You think that's avoided? Or
no,
still to be determined.
Oh my God, she's hired an attorney. She sat down with NBC News. They are sweating at the worldwide leader of sports.
Before we get out of here, can I tell you one last time that our Ford Clubhouse Studio, presented by Ford and F-Series, America's best-selling truck for 48 years, the official truck of the Boston Red Sox. Bradfo is here at 2 with Baseball Isn't Boring, but in the meantime, Shime and Mego.
Never boring.
Never boring next.